Sometimes you meet the nicest people on the road to conservation. They know there are lots of worries for the planet and the nation, but they keep on working for the water and the air and the land that needs saving. They all want to do their share.
And that is the song "Rise to the Challenge" by my friend J.P. Taylor, and someone who has risen to the challenge and then some, cannot seem to stop rising to the challenges, creating new ones all the time. Roz Savage, who has been a solo ocean rower to raise awareness about plastics in the ocean, climate change in particular, passion many of us share, but not many of us. In fact, I don't know anyone else. In fact, I think she is the first and only woman to have crossed the Atlantic Ocean in a rowboat, the Pacific Ocean, as if that wasn't enough, the Indian Ocean. Then she was figuring she's probably accomplished her goal. She was going to hang up her oars, making those of us who worry about her when she's out there, especially her mother, Rita, very happy. She was going to do a little row around Great Britain last time I heard to raise awareness about plastic pollution. And guess what? She's heading across the Atlantic again. Welcome, Roz.
Hi, Betsy. Great to be back on the show. Yes, I'm not very good at this retirement thing, am I?
I love you. You are constantly a source of inspiration, amazement. Everyone who meets you, who hears your story, just goes, wow, is she for real? You are, and you are about to do something that you had not planned to do a mere month or two ago last time we spoke to you. Tell us what changed your plans.
Well, actually, a while ago, I did have this tentative plan to row across the North Atlantic. When I did the Atlantic before, I did it from east to west, the equatorial route. And I think I had this dream of making landfall back in my home country of Britain, which would be the North Atlantic route. But then last year on the Indian Ocean, when my boat was pretty much falling apart around my ears, I thought, you know what, maybe the North Atlantic doesn't really appeal. It's going to be cold and rough and dangerous, as in more dangerous than the other oceans. And I thought, now I've finally got an excuse. I can quit without dishonor. And so to my mum's great delight, I said I wasn't going to do the North Atlantic. But then about 2 months ago, I got an email from someone that I know through ocean rowing circles saying that his crewmate had to drop out. There were two guys planning to row the North Atlantic from St. John's in Newfoundland in Canada to Britain, with the goal of arriving in time for the Olympics. And Andrew was writing to me to ask if I would be willing to step in. And I think I did struggle briefly with my conscience, because I did have an environmental initiative planned for this summer, but I think I realized that if I didn't do this row, then I would forever regret it. You're more likely to regret the things that you don't do rather than things that you do. So fairly quickly, I decided I was going to come out of retirement, and now I am about 2 weeks away from setting up from St. John's.
In time for the Olympics in London.
That's the intention. Also, I've had specific schedules in mind before, and I've realized that the ocean has very little time for my plans. She's got her own ideas of when things are going to happen. And so, yes, the goal is very much to arrive in London in time for the Olympics. We intend to make landfall in Bristol and to row through the inland waterways to London. And one of the big reasons that I said yes to this is that, as you mentioned in your introduction, I had been planning to do a human-powered circumnavigation of Britain, doing beach cleanups en route, campaigning for a reduction in plastic pollution, because lots and lots of plastic is getting into our oceans where it wreaks havoc, not just with the wildlife there, but then when we eat that wildlife, it's not doing wonders for human health either. Mm. So that was my plan for this summer, but really the success of that plan does depend on, I suppose, me having a certain amount of profile. And at the moment, I guess I feel very underappreciated in my own country. I probably have best profile here in California than I do there. So,
well, that's because of me, Roz. I'm your one-woman PR agent. Did you know? There's actually lots of us out there singing your praises. Anyone who meets you cannot forget you and talks about your amazing accomplishments.
You've been such an amazing champion for me. So thank you so much indeed. And wasn't it weird that we just ran into each other completely randomly in a parking garage in San Francisco?
On Earth Day, Sunday Earth Day. I thought that was quite a nice gift. And a sign from the green goddesses. I'm not quite sure what it means, but I knew it was a good sign. You are appreciated by this woman, the Queen of England. You had an honor from her, so you couldn't be completely unknown there in your home country. Tell us about that.
Yes, I was very excited to be invited to Buckingham Palace for a party to celebrate the centennial of Scott's expedition to the South Pole. And so 400 adventurers and explorers were invited to this reception. But just 15 of us were invited to a kind of pre-party with the media. And I was very honoured to be included in that list. And so I had a lovely long chat with David Attenborough, the very distinguished British broadcaster, who over his many, many decades, and he's 85 now, his many decades of making those wonderful BBC natural history programmes has probably done more than any of us to really nurture appreciation of this incredible planet that we live on. I think we tend to take it very much for granted. Maybe familiarity is bred contempt, but when you actually pause for a moment and look around at planet Earth, I mean, isn't it just the most incredibly wonderful, diverse, beautiful place? And yet here we are just trashing it, just messing it up. It's heartbreaking.
Absolutely, and that's something that we talk about here on the Green Front and have for the last 15 years, day in, day out. Hopefully we can get some mainstream media coverage of all the many ecological challenges we face. It's become, you know, the planet's become politicized, and that's why I think we need, you know, a green tea party for those of us who are steamed that they're playing politics with the planet. I'm sure you'd agree there's a need. What about in your home country? Are they more aware than we are in America at this point about climate change and ocean acidification and all these really, you know, dire trends that are, you know, threatening nothing less than life on the planet?
It's difficult for me to really come up with an objective view on that, partly because I haven't spent that much time in Britain over the last few years, and partly because a lot of the time I spend in the States, I'm in San Francisco, which has to be one of the most enlightened cities on the planet when it comes to environmental issues.
Agreed.
So I think all I can really say is there is not enough awareness. There still isn't enough understanding of what's happening in the oceans, what's happening in the atmosphere, the dire urgency of this situation that we're in, that it's really going to come home to roost sooner rather than later as we cross those tipping points into catastrophic change. So there is much work to be done everywhere in the world. I can't think of a single country, I hope there is one that I just don't know about, but I can't think of a single country that is really doing as much as needs to be done to preserve our future, the future of the species, of us, humanity. I think there's been a bit of misleading messaging from the environmental movement over the last few decades where we've talked about saving the planet, and maybe if we talked about it in terms of saving the human species, we'd have got a little bit more attention a bit sooner.
I agree. The planet will be fine, as someone said. The Earth will just shake us off like so many fleas when Mother Nature gets angry enough, and it seems to me she's screaming at us in so many ways. Are we listening? No, we're too busy watching reality TV shows. Is there anything on the actual, you know, environmental reality that we're facing? No, not one. And that was the subject of my Earth Day essay. The eco-evolution will not be televised, but it will be on the radio, and it is. And so tell us just briefly, you know, so many people who have been following you know your amazing story, but for those who are just joining us and hearing you for the first time, just briefly, what was the tipping point for you to cross over into the, some would say, you know, insane endeavor of crossing oceans in a small rowboat by yourself, and for what purpose?
I suppose there were two tipping points. The first one was a rejection of my old life, I suppose. I used to be just a typical London yuppie, working as a management consultant. Did that for 11 years, believed that money could buy happiness. And over those 11 years, it became increasingly evident that that was not true. And that caused a bit of an existential crisis, I suppose, that came to a head when I wrote two versions of my own obituary, the one that I wanted and the one that I was actually heading for if I carried on as I was. And these two dramatically different obituaries just made it so blindingly obvious that I was going to have to make some big changes in my life or else end up thinking, well, if only, and where did I go wrong? So at that point, I suppose I rejected what I'd been doing and started the process of reinventing myself. And round about that very formative time, I had my environmental epiphany when I was reading a book about the Hopi tribe of North America. And like many indigenous people, they really understand on a very deep level the interdependence between a healthy planet and healthy humans. And when I read about their belief, it just struck me with all the force of a fundamental truth. And I thought, oh my word, how could I have been so oblivious to this really very obvious fact for so much of my life? Mm-hmm. And with all the zeal of the convert, I felt like I had to do what I could to raise awareness and hopefully inspire some action as a matter of urgency. And that was when I started asking this question, what can I do to get people's attention for this message? And I wasn't a scientist, I wasn't a politician. I'd done some rowing in college. I suppose personally I had a yearning for adventure. And so I decided to take up my oars for the cause.
Mm. Well, you know, you are so inspiring, and not just when, you know, talking about your amazing feats, but as you're crossing these oceans, somehow you are blogging and even at some point doing some podcasts, some interviews. You are, in addition to an amazing athlete and rower and environmental activist extraordinaire, you are a wonderful writer. I have to tell anyone who has not seen your blogs to go to rawsavage.com. Whether you're on or off the ocean, you just have so much insight and you use humor and just have a way with words that I appreciate and so many of us do. You know, what is it like when you're out there all alone? And yet connecting with so many people, who many of whom you probably never meet, but who are following you. And I tell all my listeners for inspiration, daily inspiration, to go to your blog, especially when you're out there rowing, because no matter what kind of a bad day we're having and what we're up against, it's nothing compared to what you're doing out there. So that's why thank you for telling your story, because that obituary story, I think, resonates for all of us when we're really looking at how we're spending our time each day. And then also just to get, you know, get it up, if you will, for what we've got to accomplish, especially those of us who are trying to raise awareness about the crises that we face and having, you know, a tough time of it.
Well, it's not always easy to find the time, energy, and motivation to blog while I'm on the ocean. Usually, it's a choice between sleeping or blogging, and I'd normally rather be sleeping, but it's an absolutely crucial part of my mission that I do communicate while I'm out there. I think being out there on the ocean, very much confronted by the force of Mother Nature, really does remind me where human beings stand in the overall scheme of things. And I do feel compelled to share that perspective through Twitter and Facebook and the blog and the podcast and so on. And isn't it incredible that I have all the, in this modern era, I have all these tools at my disposal, even from a tiny rowboat in the middle of the ocean. So yes, my plan is very much to be continuing with my social media postings this year. It's going to be even more challenging to find the energy, because this time around, for the first time ever, I'm rowing with a partner, which means that rather than me giving myself 8 hours off overnight to get some sleep on the boat, I will be rowing 2 hours on, 2 hours off around the clock. We'll be alternating. He'll be rowing while I'm sleeping and vice versa. So I think I'm not sure that my blogs are going to be particularly articulate this year, because my sleep deprivation is going to be in a whole different league than what it's been before. But I will still do my utmost to try and put together something readable and hopefully entertaining. And I think part of the reason that you and I appreciate each other, Betsy, is because we both have this love of awful puns.
I was just going to say, you know, you keep planning your rows, but really you should just, you know, continue to play it by ear, right? Because your plans keep changing. And I was, I was also going to say, row, girl, row, row, girl, go. Roz, thank you for joining me. I'm afraid we're out of time. I could chat with you all day, and thanks for making this Earth Week show even more special with your presence. God bless you. We'll be following you, praying for your safe arrival in London. In the meantime, you'll be inspiring us with each and every stroke. No kidding. You're the best.
Thank you very much, Betsy. I look forward to catching up with you again soon on the other side.
On the other side, in this life.
In this
other
life,
side of the pond. Oh, that's Roz Savage. Always a great pleasure to chat with her. I could have gone on, but we have another fabulous segment coming up. Some folks who are trying to get the Save Our Climate Act passed. Very important story right after this. You gotta